Daniel chapter number 3.
Old Testament book of Daniel chapter number 3. When we begin to read tonight, you'll immediately know where we are in our scriptures, be familiar with this story, but we'll read it for the sake of text, and then we'll find a thought in here that God gave me some months back, and I want to share with you tonight. Daniel chapter number 3, if you want to stand, now would be a good time to do that. Daniel's not a big book, but if you can find Ezekiel, which is a bigger book, right after Ezekiel, you'll find the book of Daniel. And so if you can get there, Daniel chapter number 3. Let's look at verse number 8 and read a few verses for tonight. Daniel chapter number 3, verse 8. Wherefore at that time certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews, and spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And there are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar in his rage and fury commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said to them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do you not serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if you be ready, what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the image which I have made well. But if you worship not, you shall be cast the same hour into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Father, bless your word tonight. Help us as we try to preach. Lord, give us the spirit that we need to have, and help us to be strengthened in your word tonight, we pray. In Jesus' good name, amen. You can be seated. Of course, the portion that I read is familiar. You've certainly heard messages from this passage of Scripture before. I have personally preached messages out of this passage of Scripture at the church. I know that you've certainly read it. You're familiar with it. The reason that it is so familiar and such a good portion of Scripture is because it is a wonderful encouragement to us in our times of testing and trials and temptations. When we come to chapter number 3 of the book of Daniel, these men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and of course their companion Daniel, who is not mentioned in this text, but these men have been in Babylon now for 20 years. From the time they came to Babylon and to this time, they have faced one trial after another. In fact, being carried away into Babylon, into captivity, was a trial in and of itself. But the one we read about tonight in Daniel chapter 3 is probably the greatest test that they have faced up to this point. They are faced now with the choice of remaining faithful to their God or losing their lives. Certainly, this is a great test. You and I see from time to time on the news or hear about on the news someone maybe in another country that is given the choice that these men were given. And I pray that it never comes to that in America. We're thankful for the freedom that we do have. And while we struggle and we fight for our freedoms, and I believe we should continue to fight for those freedoms, we should never be just silent and let those things be taken away, but we should be thankful and grateful for the freedom that we do have. I pray we're never faced with this choice. But there have been some that have faced the choice that these men faced. And they were faced with the choice of remaining faithful to their God or losing their lives. Like I've already said, we're familiar with this story. You could tell me the story tonight. I could let you stand in the pulpit and you could tell me the story. You would tell me the story of the fire. We know how that Nebuchadnezzar set up this golden image, how that near the image he placed a fiery furnace. We could talk about the bipolar kind of questionable mentality of Nebuchadnezzar. He was a little off. How that he heated that fire up 7 times and said, "You worship my image or I'll place you inside of there." You could tell me about the fire. And you could tell me about the faith of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. How that they stand before the king as we just read and said, "King, O king, we are not careful to answer you. We know that the fire is there and we know that the test is real, but we will stay true to our God. We will not, no matter what you do to us, we will not bow to your image." Oh, you could tell me about their great faith, and that is certainly challenging faith when we read about their faith. You could tell me the story about the friend, how that when Nebuchadnezzar, I felt if I had hair on my head, I would have felt it stand up just then. That's a weird thing. You shave your head, Brother David, and you still feel the hair stand up on your head. I guarantee it. But I'm telling you, I felt something just then. You could tell me about the friend that when Nebuchadnezzar put them into the fiery furnace, they were not alone. But there was a fourth man that walked with them and stood with them and was with them during their darkest hour. And God never failed them. And God will never fail you and me. Isn't that good? You could tell me the story of the friend. There's something in this story that I have just seen recently. In fact, I found it, it become a little bigger than me. I found it a few months ago. I was preaching a youth retreat for another local church in the Pigeon Forge area. And I was preaching on this text and just kind of mentioned what I'm going to preach on tonight. And it kind of got bigger than me that weekend. And the kids started talking about it. And it kind of become one of our themes for the weekend. But not only do I see this fire and this faith and this friend, but I maybe find some fear in this text. Now, the Lord forgive me if I'm reading more into the story than is really there. I honestly mean that. The Lord forgive me if I'm reading more into the story than there is there, and hopefully you'll forgive me. But I believe I find some fear in this text. The pressure becomes very real to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I can imagine in my mind as they are given this decree and this command, you either bow or you burn. And I can imagine, Brother Scott, as the music begins to play and everybody in the crowd does what they are expected to do. In fact, probably the saddest part is there's Jews in that crowd that bowed to that image. But the music begins to play and everybody does what they're supposed to do. But these three men continue to stand. Now I want you to put yourself in the shoes of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Just a minute, I want you to imagine that you are faced with the choice between your God and your life. Right in front of you is the fire. The music starts to play, and you know what you have got to do. I'm going to guess that you would maybe be a little like me. You might have been afraid. Maybe you're better than me. But I maybe would have been a little afraid. I can only imagine as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego hear the music play. Maybe things start going through their mind. Maybe something like this. What am I going to do? I don't want to die. Will anyone notice if I even bow? Would anybody even notice that? Does it really matter if I bow or not? God will surely forgive me. I don't want to lose my life. I don't know if they thought any of those things. I'm just telling you some things that I maybe would have thought. But the music plays, and they continue to stand. Everyone bows, everyone worships, everybody does what they're expected to do, and the music stops, and it seems like it's over. But just about the time, Brother Jason, they feel like it's over with, somebody in the crowd says, "Wait a minute. There was three men over here that didn't bow." And they take them before Nebuchadnezzar, who, like I said, is a little questionable. They take them before Nebuchadnezzar, and now before the king that is so brutal and ruthless, he has conquered the whole world. They say, these men have not regarded you. They refuse to bow. And Nebuchadnezzar, in his anger, said, is that true? I'll give you one more chance. This time you'll stand right in front of me and they'll play the music while you stand there and I'll see if you bow or not. And they again are faced with the choice. Now I'm not sure if these men were afraid or not, but I know that I probably would have been afraid. Maybe it's wrong, but I'm just being honest. There have been times in my life that I've faced trials, I've faced things, tests in my life, and I have been afraid. When the storm came upon the disciples in that ship, they were afraid. So I know I'm not alone. When Peter began to sink in the water, he was afraid. So I know I'm not alone. When Jesus was captured, the Bible says that the disciples all fled in fear. They were the closest followers to the Lord at the time, and they were afraid. It very well may be that you face something in your life, and that thing brings you to a place of fear. Sometimes things get scary. Sometimes things get uncertain. In fact, most uncertain things are scary. I'm not going to tell you that you're not going to ever be afraid. But what I am going to tell you is this. Sometimes you must have faith even when you're afraid. I want to preach on this thought tonight, having faith when you're afraid. Having faith when you're afraid. What does it mean? Let me ask this question first. What does it mean to have faith even when you face something that's scary? What it means is this, and this is what I mean by this. It means that you do what you know is right, no matter how you feel about it inside. Daniel chapter 3, verse number 17 and 18. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But if not, that's where I find that fear. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, we will not serve thy gods. It did not matter how they felt at this moment. They were going to do what they knew was right. These men didn't know what the outcome was going to be, but they knew that they were going to do right no matter what they felt and what they faced. I would imagine that fear said to Noah, don't build a boat and it's never rained before. Everybody's going to think you're crazy. But faith said, although it's never rained before, God said to do it, so I'm going to do it. I'm sure that Abraham was afraid when God said, offer Isaac up on top of Moriah. I'm sure Abraham was worried. This is my only son. This is the promise that God gave me. Why would God be taking this away from me right now? But at the same time, he also said, the Lord will provide, and even if he takes my son, then he'll raise him back up again. I will do what's right. Fear said to the woman with the issue of blood, you will be sick the rest of your life. You will always be an outcast. This has gone on for so long, it will never be better. But faith said, if I could just get to the hem of his garment, then all this could be taken care of. Faith is doing what is right, no matter how you feel. Well, I want to show you three things tonight that I think are here. Some of them in the text, some of them in between the text. But I think we can find them nonetheless that'll help us to have faith even when we are afraid. And you know, that is something, that's something that I know it's easier to preach than it is to do. And sometimes, let me just pause long enough to say this. Sometimes in our churches, this whole faith thing is preached, and it should be preached, but it is almost delivered in such a manner to where if you face something and it does make you afraid, then that somehow makes you a bad Christian. That makes you a bad Christian. You failed. Now understand what I'm about to say. The scriptures are very clear over and over again. Fear not. Fear not. Fear not. I know that. But at the same time, I know that we are human, and so we are going to be afraid from time to time. And do not let the devil tell you that you are somehow less of a Christian because you face something that maybe makes you a little afraid. Now, I don't know if he was afraid or not, but I know that three times in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus prayed, "Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." And I know that you're, and I know what the enemy's going to do. You're going to face something and it's going to make you afraid. He's going to tell you you're an inferior Christian. In fact, you're probably not even a Christian. You're probably not even saved. But let me tell you what you do as a child of God. You can have faith and do what's right even when you're afraid. Even when you're afraid. How can I do that, preacher? Okay, well, let me show you three reasons that these men were able to have faith while they may have been afraid. Number one, they were able to have faith because of their principles. They were able to have faith because of their principles. Now watch this. It's in verse number 12. "And there were certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king," and mark these words, here they are, "have not regarded thee, nor served thy gods, nor worshipped the golden image which thou hast set up. When the wise men come to Nebuchadnezzar and explain to him that there are three men in the crowd that did not obey his commandment, they make the statement that I just read to you. They tell the king that these men did not bow because they do not serve his gods and they do not regard his golden image." Now, it's worth pointing out how remarkable it is what these men say. These men did not have to speculate on the reason that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego didn't bow. They didn't have to speculate about that. They knew the reason that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego didn't bow. Do you know how they knew it was because they did not serve his gods and they did not regard his image? It is because this is not the first time these men have had faith. Their faith has played out in their lives ever since they've been in Babylon. And so when these men come to Nebuchadnezzar, they know why these men didn't bow. Somebody one time asked the question, if you were arrested for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? That's a pretty good question. These men knew the faith of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They knew it was their faith that kept them from bowing because they had seen this faith in their life before. Since the moment that Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah have arrived in Babylon, they have been tested. In each test, more than likely, they feared the outcome, but in each test, they let their principles make the decisions for them. When it came to the trial of their food, do you remember that? That was the first one that they faced. It's in chapter number 1. They get into Babylon, and the very first thing that happens is that one of the king's attendants comes to them and says, "The king has given a certain diet that he wants you all to eat now that you're in Babylon. This is the diet that he gives everybody. This is strict regulation. This is protocol. This is what the king said. It is the king's decree." And the Bible says that Daniel answers in chapter number 1 in verse number 8. And it says that Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Wherefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. You see, Daniel was faced with this troublesome situation. And Daniel chose to do what was right because he knew it was the right thing to do. When we get to chapter number 3, it is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And again, the principles are driving them. They say before King Nebuchadnezzar, "These men have not regarded thee, they do not serve your gods, and they will not worship your golden image." It was their principles that kept them standing that day. When you come to chapter number 6, it is Daniel's principles again about prayer. They have made a decree that you can't pray to anyone except the king for 30 days. And three times a day, every day, Daniel keeps opening his window. He keeps facing toward Jerusalem, and he just keeps right on praying. You say, what would cause a man to do that? He had some principles about him. He knew what he was supposed to do. Now think about this. In each one of these situations, their principles guided them. When Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah chose to request this special diet of pulse and water, they did not know that when it was over, they would be fairer and fatter than all the other wise men of Babylon. They didn't know that. All they knew is that God in His law had said, these are the things you can eat and these are the things you can't eat. The choice wasn't made because they had a promised outcome. The choice was made because this is what God's word said. When you get to chapter number 3, these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, did not know, by their own testimony, they did not know that a fourth man would show up, walk with them in the fire, they would not be burnt, and everything would turn out all right. They didn't know that. All they knew is that God said, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images. Thou shalt not worship any other gods before me. That's all they knew. They knew what God said, what God told them to do. And so they just followed their principles. When Daniel kept praying in chapter number 6, he did not know that God would stop the mouth of the lions, that a great miracle would be done. He didn't know that. All he knew is that he was told to pray in God's word, and that if he would pray toward Jerusalem, God might hear and God might help. And so he was going to do what he knew was right, no matter what the outcome was. And you say, preacher, how can I have faith when I don't know what's going to happen? You can have faith based on your principles. When you don't know what's right and you don't know what's wrong, because all you can see is the fear, you do what the Word of God says is right. Every time you do what the Word of God says is right. I doubt there'll ever be a time in our life when we face a test like these men face. I am, however, certain that each one of us will face things that we do not understand, things that make us uncomfortable, and things that bring fear into our hearts. And in those moments, we must be true to God's word. The psalmist said in Psalms 119, verse 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Now, wait a minute. If his word is a light to our feet and a lamp to our path, you tell me something. Do you need a light and a lamp when it is bright outside or when it's dark outside? Well, I thought that was a pretty easy question. Y'all just looked at me like I was stupid or something. You need a light when it's dark, don't you? When it's dark around you, you need a light. Can I say that when it gets dark in your life and it gets scary in your life, do you know what the light is? Do you know what the lamp is? The thing that tells you which way to go, the path that you are supposed to take, it's God's word. Because God's word never leads you wrong. And even when you're afraid, you can hold on to those principles and say, God said it, so I'm just going to keep right on doing it. That's right, friend, that's right. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. If God said it, then it's right. I don't care if the world turns against you. I don't care if your heart is filled with fear. God's word is true, and God's word must be determined to follow. Hey, I'm telling you, friend, you must keep doing what God says is right. How do you keep giving when things are hard financially? Because God said to give. How do you keep standing when fitting in with the crowd is easier? Because God said to stand. How do you keep going to church even when there's problems and there's difficulties in the church or in your home or in your life? You just keep going because God said it's right to keep going. You better believe these men were afraid. But that fear did not overrule the principles that God's word taught them. And we must never allow fear to overrule the principles of God's word. How could they have faith in fear? Well, they were able to have faith because of their principles. Number two, they were able to have faith because of the promises. They were able to have faith because of the promises. Verse 17, if it be if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. The wording of this verse seems interesting. Verse 17, they say, our God is able. But if not, verse number 18, now I find that interesting. If I read that correctly, I read that these men did not know whether God would choose to deliver them or not. But they were certain, according to verse number 17, they were certain that he had the power to. Verse 18, they didn't know if he would or not. But verse 17, they knew he was able. Well, let me ask you a question. Where did these men get the confidence to know that God was able to deliver them? May I present to you that they got this confidence from the promises of the Word of God? Deuteronomy chapter number 30, verse 15, 16, 19, and 20. See, I have set before thee this day life and good and death and evil. In that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest. Verse 19, and I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before thee life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and thou mayest obey his voice, that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware to thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give thee. These men had the promises of God's word. God had promised long ago, before they were ever born, through the man of God Moses, that if they chose right, that God would give them life, God would give them length of days, and God would give them safety. And now they stand facing the greatest test they have ever faced, and they have a confidence in their heart that God is able, should he choose, to deliver them, and they receive this confidence because God promised it to them. These men, I believe, if you would ask them this day, do we keep doing right? How do you know God's able? I believe they would have probably said something like this. Well, before we were born, there was another man, and he was in a similar situation to what we were. And he was carried down into Egypt. His name was Joseph. And they would have told you the story of Joseph, how that he stayed true with God in his father's house, and he stayed true to God in Potiphar's house, and he stayed true to God when he was in the prison, and God finally put him in the palace. But they had heard God's word, they had listened to God's word, and they had confidence that God was able because that word said it was. They could tell you the story of Abraham. They could tell you the story of David. They could tell you the story of Joshua. They could tell you the story of Gideon. And on and on and on it goes. You see, they knew God was able because God's word had been put in them and God had given them some promises. May I recommend to each one of you, you must hide God's word in your heart while you can. Because there will come a day in your life where fear grips you and you're going to need some of those promises. Psalms 119, verse 11, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. How can I have faith even when I'm afraid? Because if you've got those promises hid away in here, when hardship comes, you won't know where it comes from. Hardship will come, and one of those verses will jump up at you. One of those verses will pop up into your mind. You'll be faced with the choice, right and wrong, and there'll be a verse right there. That's why we have to hide those things inside of us. You may not need them today, but you don't know what you'll face tomorrow. And the greatest confidence you can have comes in His Word. Okay, how can I have faith? Well, I can have it because of those principles. I can have faith because of those promises. Number three, they were able to have faith because of a person. Because of a person. Now look at verse 17. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us out of the burning fiery furnace. And He will deliver us out of thy hand, O King. Finally, notice that these young men were able to have faith in their time of fear because they knew that God was with them. Now, you may be asking yourself a question at this point. You may be asking yourself the question, why hasn't the preacher read those verses on down in the chapter that are the best part, you know, the fourth man part? That's the part we love, right? In fact, if he's going to make a point that there was somebody with him, why don't he read about the man that walked with him in the fire? Wouldn't that be the verses that makes it? In fact, I thought about using those verses. But then the Lord spoke to my heart. I honestly believe this. The Lord spoke to my heart. It was not in the furnace that these men proclaimed that God was with them. It was standing before the king with their lives on the line that they proclaimed God is with us. Listen to the preacher right now. The appearance of the fourth man in the fire was simply a visible manifestation of a presence that was with them all the time. The fourth man was with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego long before they ever walked into that furnace. Before they ever got in the fire, He was already with them. How can you have faith when you're afraid? You can have faith because you know that you are not alone. I'm thankful for those times that God shows up in a visible way in one of our lives and He visibly manifests Himself to everybody. We face something, we've got a challenge, we've got a fear, we've got a thing that we're dealing with, and all of a sudden, just, boy, God just shows up and He handles it. We've all heard those stories of somebody that has been sick and they've had the test done, and right before they do the surgery, boy, just everything turns around and the spot's not there anymore and they've just miraculously been healed. Or we've heard the story of somebody that had a bill to pay and just right about the time they felt like it was over with, a check unexpectedly showed up in the mail, or somebody unexpectedly gave them groceries, or somebody unexpectedly did something. We could all tell those stories. That is a visible manifestation of God. That is the fourth man in the midst of the fire. That's good. But tonight, whether you can see Him walking with you or not, know this and know this well. He is with you. You don't have to have one of those big visible manifestations of the fourth man to know that the fourth man is there. Because the fourth man promised that He would always be there. Hebrews 13:5. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Matthew 28:20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you, and lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Isaiah 43:2, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burnt, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. How can I keep doing right when I'm afraid? You can keep doing right because you know that you are not alone. How many of y'all know that it's scarier in the dark when you're by yourself? You won't believe me. You just wait here in just a little bit. I'll let Brother Scott turn all the lights out in this church, and we'll leave you here by yourself, and all of us will leave. You tell me it ain't scary, you're by yourself in the dark. But you know, something you learn as a kid is the dark isn't as scary when you've got somebody there with you, is it? It's not quite as scary when somebody's there with you. In fact, something you learn as a kid is that the dark isn't quite as scary if Dad's there with you. Right or not? I've told y'all this before, you know it. The girls, when they were little, they'd get afraid in the middle of the night. They would always come to Dad's side of the bed. Because Dad was too big of a softy, he wouldn't tell them to go back to bed. And because Dad never really fully woke up and they could just kind of sneak in there with me, Davina would get back in bed. They were afraid they'd come in there with Mom and Dad. It was still dark. In fact, it was probably darker in our room than it was in their room. Because Davina, when she takes her contacts out, all lights got to be done. They got to be off. It's got to be pitch black. But it was the fact that somebody was in the dark. They weren't afraid anymore. There are going to be times in your life, you live this Christian life long enough, and you'll face something, and it'll make you afraid. It'll be that, I don't know what it'll be. It might be that debt collector that says, this is foreclosure notice. Maybe that boss that hands you the pink slip. Maybe that doctor that says it's cancer. Maybe that doctor that tells you about your loved one, there's no hope, they're not going to make it. I don't know what it'll be. I don't know what it'll be for you. But I know in that moment you will be afraid. But can I say under the authority of the Word of God, you don't have to be so afraid because you are not alone. You see, here's the truth. When we let principles of God's Word guide us, okay, no matter how afraid we are, we let those principles be our light and be our lamp. We let those promises indwell us. We let those promises indwell us. And we realize the fact that there's a person next to us. Then we don't have to be quite so afraid. Then we can say, fear not. I don't know what you're facing. I hope it's nothing. I hope you face nothing tonight. That's my prayer. But when you do face that something, you do what's right because God said it's right. Between now and then, you better take your Bible and you better read it. You better put some promises inside of you. You'll need them one day. You say, I ain't got time to read my Bible tonight. You better make time to read your Bible. You'll need it one day. And then know that you are never alone. He walks with you everywhere you go. Brother Scott, you want to get us a song? Let's bring this message to a close. If you're here tonight and you need to pray, you come right on. God will meet you here. And here's something wonderful. God's also given you a church family. You're not alone. We're here with you. So if you need to come pray, there'll be somebody else meet you down here and they'll pray with you. Go ahead, Brother Scott.